Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome, everybody, to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. I am Sin City Steve, being joined, as always, by Rob Bocelleri at Vegas Trump Guy. Rob, what the hell is going on, man?
Do you believe we're already into WrestleMania season? Look at this. We're already. A year has gone by so fast, and this time around, I still could not tell you what we're going to watch in a month,
dude,
or where we're going to watch it.
No one knows. That's the craziest thing. We just finished up with the final PLE before WrestleMania. And yes, we have a good idea of a few of the matches, but there's still quite a lot of questions to be answered. So let's just jump right in, man. Let's talk about Elimination Chamber, since that is what is on the minds and on the keyboards of everybody. Oh, my God. This was such a polarizing show, man. So, obviously, the show kicked off with the Women's Elimination Chamber match, which, dare I say, spoiler alert, was the better of the two chamber matches. Didn't really care for the overbooking in that men's match. But, yeah, we saw Rhea Ripley come out on top and become your challenger for Jade Cargill at WrestleMania. But they did some very good things in this match, I thought. Obviously, you've got Rhea coming out of this on top, but you also did a great bit to establish Raquel Rodriguez as she gets the first ever stacking pin in Elimination Chamber history, I believe. And the
that
last time
put her over with the crowd so well.
Absolutely. And, you know, even this was the previous time this was done was when Roman stacked up Edge and Daniel Bryan. So definitely right. It's not something that they overdo. But yeah, to say the least, they told quite a bit of story in this match, Rob. What did you think about that Women's Elimination Chamber match?
The use, in my opinion, there was very little use for the cage. The only time I saw a spot for that was when they took Rhea Ripley and gave her a break by throwing her legs through the cage and hanging her up. And it wasn't to get free pot shots off on her. It was really just, we're going to have action going on in the middle of the ring. Let's get her like a few minutes to catch a breather. That's the way I looked at it. But there was some use of the pods, but really no use for the ring itself. Only one time did we see, I think, Alexa Bliss try to get out of the way and climb out of the way temporarily, but that was it. Not much high-flying use. They do with War Games.
Yeah, it's very interesting to watch an AEW type of a match like this, and then go and watch the WWE version. It's very striking. I thought all things considered, though, like I said, the women's match was better than the men's in terms of what they got done in there. But also, again, they told some good stories and it continued to push certain people that need to be pushed.
Well, the spot of spots, there were a few, but the Tahana bomb was just freaking incredible. The other one was Tiffany Stratton getting busted open.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was when she hit her prettiest moonsault ever. She's grabbing her face. And then I think Rhea Ripley aggravated it further by throwing her into the pod face first. And she was up with a bloody nose. So that was really incredible. The whole thing with Jade Cargill, I get it. They had Jade Cargill sitting up at the top by a box seat, but not in the box seat. And they just had her glopped up with makeup. And she has a big grin on her face. I realize the audience was pissed because you just really put Raquel Rodriguez over, but she's not going to be able to have any mic skills whatsoever. And whoever goes up against Jade Cargill is going to have to carry her through all of the dialogue, through all of the spots and all the in-ring stuff, or they're going head to head. She's not going to be able to carry the conversation, and Jade can't carry the conversation. You need Rhea Ripley to go, "Mommy's back. I've done this before. Bloody hell, I'm going to whip your ass." And then Jade is going to go, "You can't beat me because I'm that bitch." And that's, and it's going to be very dry. Just not, I don't know. They had the only option they could go with. The only option they could go with was Rhea Ripley versus Jade Cargill, because you need somebody with mic skills to carry it, to carry all of the segments. Tiffany's not going to do it. She's too dry. Asuka can't do it. You need somebody who can speak fluent English. It's just the fact of the matter. If it were anybody else, and other than Jade Cargill, you might have been able to pull off Asuka one more time. But no, this is what it's going to be. Do I want Jade Cargill to lose? No. Rhea Ripley is a babyface, and she needs to lose so she can become a heel again.
Absolutely agreed. All right, man. And really quick, before we jump into the next match, I have to draw attention to the sign of the night. I got stuck in traffic. When's Luger versus Tatanka? Props to you for bringing that sign. Hell yes. Obviously, in case you're unaware, this show took place in the United Center, which, granted, I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't know that they were in the United Center in Chicago, because this was a very un-Chicago crowd. What would you agree with that, Rob? I mean, the crowd didn't feel like a Chicago crowd.
No, they weren't really raucous. They weren't getting into the matches. They were very subdued. We can get into one of the main Chicago native. Well, I wouldn't say Chicago native, but usually loved by Chicago when he came in with AEW. We'll get to that a little bit later. Yep. Even when CM Punk came out, by comparison to other entrances, and they really did him a massive service with the Bulls entrance, and still it was kind of a tepid response for CM Punk by Absolutely. Comparison to everything else.
Absolutely. And also, I do want to just say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us. We are live on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. So if you're hanging out with us on one of those platforms, feel free to drop a like. Feel free to put your comments into the chat box. And hey, we'll carry on this conversation. But
welcome Summer Sinclair and Chad. They're watching us from Instagram.
Oh, that's awesome. Welcome. Welcome. So you had mentioned one of the Chicago-centric matches. I found this to be pretty interesting. You have the two chamber matches, and then you have the two Chicago residents in title matches. So AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch, and AJ Lee finishes her story and gets that Women's Intercontinental Championship from Becky Lynch. Any comments on this one, Rob?
I wouldn't call it finishing a story per se. It is what it is. You need to have something going in to WrestleMania to make a belt relevant.
Yep.
Exactly. And she is complete nostalgia act. Yep. She looks like a slightly older. She looks like what she is. She's a 10-year-old older version of herself. She looks beautiful, but she does look a little older. She's a little bit more reserved. But she came out. She did a good job. She did not have ring rust. She didn't. She wins. And now you will have a bunch of women scrambling to fight for it. And eventually Becky Lynch will get back into that run. I'm predicting a triple threat. And the reason why you do a triple threat is you have Becky Lynch pin somebody else. AJ Lee looks good. And then she can fade out within, you know, after Backlash. Simple.
That would make sense, yeah.
She doesn't have to look bad, and that's it. You're going to put her on a run all the way to SummerSlam? Doubtful.
No, she's dropping that title at Mania, bro. She's dropping that title at Mania, for sure.
She gets thrown out of the ring. Becky Lynch, you know, does a little surprise roll-up schoolgirl, grabs somebody by the tights, 1, 2, 3, and your new champion, who's on the Star Trek show that we have to plug, Becky Lynch.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And from here, we're going to talk about the, I'll say it, the best thing on this entire show, which you made mention of earlier, Rob.
Oh, boy.
And I am talking about the CM Punk entrance set to Sirius by the Alan Parsons Project.
Yeah.
Obviously, them doing that in the United Center.
With the Bulls intro.
The Bull, yeah, you had the Chicago Bulls PA announcer.
Ray Clay,
you know, yelling CM Punk's name to the ring. Dude, it was surreal. As somebody who was a fan of those Bulls teams, it was really cool to see that. Say whatever you will about CM Punk. Obviously, he's a very polarizing person in the world of pro wrestling. You can only imagine how amazing this moment was for him as a pro wrestler to have the Bulls PA announcer announce him to the ring while he's defending a world championship using the walkout song of the best franchise in that city's history. Dude, A++. No marks. Like it. Dude.
Nobody gets not even Cena in Boston. Nobody gets a tie into a city better than CM Punk in Chicago.
Definitely agreed. But they capitalize on it every chance they get.
Yes, and in AEW too, they did. They knew what to do. And in AEW though, he got a much bigger pop. And I think that was in part because he had come back after 7 years and went straight to AEW.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, my friend. So CM Punk versus Finn Balor. CM Punk walks out with the championship.
Oh, and by the way, hold on. Yep. I'd be remiss if we did not mention that he came out in Blackhawks gear.
Yes. Yes, he absolutely did.
His ring attire was from inspired by the Blackhawks. Another busted nose. Finn Balor loses clean.
Yep.
Handshake. Simple walk out the ring.
Dude, I would love to sit here and say that this match knocked my dick off. I would love to sit here and say that this match was phenomenal.
It was okay.
I would love to sit here and say that this match was great. I would love to sit here and say that this match was good, but it was none of those things. This was not a good match.
The pacing was pedantic. And the other problem I have is CM Punk is 47. Finn Balor's 44. Why does Finn Balor look 34 and CM Punk look 54?
Absolutely. You would never guess that Balor was 3 years younger than Punk. You would never guess that.
You didn't see the gray in his beard until they hit with a couple of really odd zooms. He looks far younger, much better shape. And CM Punk is supposed to be the straight edge guy. He looks like he's done 50 years of drugs. And he commented on it tonight on Raw. He commented that he looks old. He commented he has bags under his eyes. He's got a shiner. Yeah. He's got a black eye. Not much of one, but enough.
Yep. And, this match in 2026, you should not be in a rest hold spot for 3 minutes in a match. I'm just going to say that you don't get into a rest hold and lock it in for 3 minutes at a time. Ironically enough, though, I think Roman Reigns said it best. Not sure who looked more tired, the crowd or the champion. Enjoy this final month of relevancy. I mean, okay. I can get behind it if this is the type of stuff that Roman Reigns is going to say on a weekly basis.
This Roman Reigns knows how to cut promos. Thank God he finally learned after 10 years how to cut a fucking promo, and he's good at it. CM Punk is still a little bit better, as we saw tonight, but Roman Reigns is good now. This is what's been missing all these years. If he could have done this 10 years earlier and dropped the fucking body armor bullshit. I always believed that he had the body armor on because of something related to the cancer. He had something going on underneath and they were covering for him. But that's all, whatever. A water under the bridge. What's most important now is that they make it entertaining. And what they're making it now is, because Roman Reigns doesn't look young either. Let's be right. Real. He looks old too. But Roman Reigns looks his age, which is not great. That's the problem I have. You're going to have a legacy in Roman Reigns. How many belts does he have? He's got to have like 10 titles. He's got many as well. And his career as a whole is mostly forgettable outside of the bloodline. He was not relevant except for the Shield and the bloodline. Everything he did in the middle, you could wipe it right out. You wouldn't remember it. What did he do in the middle? He got his ass whooped by Brock Lesnar a million times.
You mean you didn't like the Big Dog era?
Oh God.
With the fucking dog food.
Oh my God. Paul Heyman. You ever see Bonneville Salt Flats? And they have these land cars, these land speeders, rocket type cars. What do? They have one car push the other car to get it going. That's what it was for Roman Reigns. He got there. He's where he needs to be, but he looks old and CM Punk look old. They both look tired.
Yeah.
There is no young guy. This is two grizzled out guys. And
I know the feeling, bro. Trust me.
It's like,
what do you do? What do you do? Who wants to watch two grizzled old dudes? The jokes write themselves. Anyway. Anyway, back to the Elimination Chamber. And Rob, I know this was your favorite segment. That's right. Danhausen.
The gobbledygooker Housen.
That's right. Oh,
good
wait,
old
sorry.
AI.
Wrong image. There we go.
There we go.
Anyway,
wedding ring on too. How nice.
The crate. What was in the crate? We discovered exactly, and it ended up being 10 Lady Housens and Danhausen himself.
He came out with a bunch of Danhausen Elvira chicks all dancing around him. This is what happens when CM Punk grants you a favor at the right place, but the wrong time.
Exactly.
When they open the crate, you see nothing and you hear a few voices go, Danhausen, 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 Danhausen. And everybody else is quiet. And then Danhausen, then he comes out and he does a dance routine and nobody fucking liked it. Not enough. The last time I saw something like this where an indie guy goes to the big time and has his own patented gimmick and everybody loves it in the indies was Al Snow. He came into WWE about 25 years ago. He came in with a mannequin styrofoam head with a stapled on wig. And his music is, what does everybody want? Head. What does everybody need? Head. At the end of every ECW match, people threw those little mannequin heads in the ring at him. Instead of toilet paper or fanfare or little favors, people threw heads at him. So he had to do a whole shitty gimmick where he put a block of cheese on his head. And they did head cheese. And it was the shittiest thing ever. And it was not anywhere as entertaining had people understood what the fuck his gimmick meant. But WWE only fans are morons. They know nothing about wrestling outside the four safe padded walls of Vince or Triple H. And occasionally now they will reference other shit. But the only thing I appreciated this time was that Cole didn't say a bunch of corny nonsense. And normally that would annoy me when he would say something corny, like, who is this guy? This time he didn't. He did the opposite. He goes, it's Danhausen. And like, I'm sure Triple H told him, like, don't fuck this up. Everybody knows who this is. And then nobody knew this time. So the one time he does the right thing and doesn't explain the character, nobody knew the fucking character. You can't make this up. The Hardys were broken Hardys, and they came back in their normal clothes. So what is freaking Cole do? He announces as if they're the broken Hardys. No, he did everything right this time. You can't win. I tell you, that poor Michael Cole cannot win.
No, not at all, man. Not at all. But, you know, kind of shifting gears, let's talk about somebody that did win. Surprisingly, dare I say, I'm talking about Randall Keith Orton, who won your men's Elimination Chamber match. The money was all on Cody Rhodes. Everyone and their brother thought Cody was going to win this thing.
No.
And that was not the case, as we saw. This thing was overbooked to hell, man. You had one mystery man run in to almost act as a decoy. And then, obviously, when all the security and the referees are preoccupied with him, who, incidentally, was a worker from Seth Rollins' training school, the Black and Brave Academy. So shout out to them, friends of the show. And he was the decoy. And then a second masked man shows up. That's actually Seth freaking Rollins in what could be viewed as one of the wettest fart reveals that we've seen, because it was safe. It was just,
We all knew this was coming. Who else would it be?
And don't get me wrong. I'm not talking shit on Seth by any means. You got to figure, for him to fast track coming back from his injury because of everything that's gone on. And realistically, I don't know if he's cleared to do very much of anything right now. I mean, he's just doing this shit for the love of the game. So props to Seth for everything that he's doing. He's doing a ton of media appearances. He's really, in the last, I'd say 6 to 8 months, he's really stepped out and developed an identity, not just in the wrestling arena, but everywhere else. He's been everywhere on media appearances, McAfee, Eisen. This dude has been everywhere. So props to Rollins. I don't want anybody to think that I'm shitting on him with this reveal by any stretch of the imagination. It was just safe. And in this instance, safe was not good.
But that's been everything that's been rolled out. Who do they pick to win the Royal Rumble? Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns. And what are they going to do now? They're going in to invent years of hatred between Roman Reigns and CM Punk that never existed. And what does Roman Reigns say? You know what? If it wasn't you, I would have nothing to think about you. You'd be irrelevant to me. I wouldn't even consider you.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. They're speaking it out loud. The parts that were in our back of our mind, I wouldn't even think about you. I wouldn't think about you. Everything that they did is safe. And why? Because the fucking two guys that they wanted, Bron Breakker was going to be the guy that they wrapped everything around this year. He's hurt. Okay, we got a backup. He's hurt. And now look how far everything has slid in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Everything's gone in the wrong direction. But by the way, I knew it was Randy Orton. And how did I know that? The ring attire. Cody Rhodes was in gold ring attire. Javon Evans was in gold ring attire. We had LA Knight, if I'm not mistaken, gold ring attire. Logan Paul, gold ring attire. We had Trick Williams, white gold ring attire. The only person who was wearing different colored ring attire was Cody Rhodes. Everybody else said, for the most part, I'm trying
Randy
to.
Orton.
Oh, Cody Rhodes. Yeah, Randy Orton. I apologize. Randy Orton was wearing the red. Randy Orton was the only one that stood out from everybody else in that ring. And also, which made no sense to me, was Drew McIntyre getting involved.
Yes, that was what I was going to mention next. In addition to obviously Seth getting involved, and I've got the graphic up there showing the ring attire of Orton, as well as you can also see Cody in the gold. That was a great observation, Rob. I didn't even see that shit. So good call.
I always look at the ring attire before every major match.
Yeah, definitely, man. And obviously, you know, you made mention of Drew McIntyre getting involved in the match. Just as he got involved on SmackDown to cost Jacob Fatu a chance of even getting into this match. Oh, God, here we go. Notice I did not say that we would have Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania for the championship. And why not? Because this was announced immediately after the show that Drew McIntyre will have to defend the WWE Championship against Cody Rhodes on SmackDown on Friday. What the fuck, man? What the fuck? Mind you, Randy Orton just won an Elimination Chamber match for the right to have a championship match. Okay. Cody is given one on free TV. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, wasn't part of the stipulation of the three stages of hell that Cody couldn't challenge for that championship again? Wasn't that like part of the gimmick? So he's outright given another shot by the GM. So what this tells me is our WrestleMania match is about ready to get a whole lot more clusterfucked, because it's not going to be those two. It's going to be a multi-man match. It'll end up being Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes versus Jacob Fatu in a fatal four-way.
Book it. I don't want Jacob Fatu involved in it at
all. It's going to happen.
I know he'll do it.
It's going to happen because he's going to be the one to eat the pin.
Yes. He will. And here's what you do. We call future booking. Yeah. You have Randy Orton do an RKO on Jacob Fatu. Cody Rhodes takes Randy Orton, and he does a crossroads. Drew McIntyre claymores Cody Rhodes out of the ring and then does a claymore to a Jacob Fatu wobbling up to his feet. 1, 2, 3. Now, backlash is Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton. No 15-time belt for Randy Orton. Randy Orton, I don't see him promoting and plugging in a lot of places. So I don't really take it seriously that he would ever be a champion, because that would mean a lot more work for him. I don't see him going and you know, touring around like Seth Rollins is. You're describing Seth Rollins like the next Triple H. Is Randy Orton going to do that? Is he going to make all those appearances? Probably not. So you're not going to give him the belt. Drew McIntyre gets it. Drew McIntyre could go up against the entire roster, everyone in that locker room, over the course of, you know, the entire year. Why not make Drew McIntyre the guy who has to win by just every, you know, every stupid happenstance. And then you get Cody versus Randy Orton. The two can have their feud. Jacob goes back to being a nobody, because he's a nobody right now. He's a nobody. He's not part. He's not feuding with my family tree. He's nowhere on Raw where he should be, reviving some version of a bloodline. So he's nobody. You got nothing. He's good. What are you going to do with him? Nothing. There is absolutely nothing you can use him for right now, except to be a disruptor. And that's unfortunate, because he's really good. He should be in a mid-title position. You know, and really that only leaves him with one opportunity, which is the U.S. title. That's it. Unless you bring him to Raw and have him take the Intercontinental from our new Intercontinental champion. From
Penta? I think that, you know, I think Penta should be given enough of a runway.
Of course.
Where we're not already booking somebody to take a title from him. I think that really, you know, we did kind of gloss over it in the segment earlier, but we'll talk about it here in just a minute. But Penta is a champion in WWE, which is to be heavily celebrated, to say the very least, considering how it looked for him not too long ago.
Well, here's my thing. Good on him. Good on having a title change on Raw. Love when they do that. But it wasn't about Penta. It was about Dominic Mysterio losing it, not Penta winning it.
Exactly.
That's a problem. Now, Penta will have great defenses. Yep. But
absolutely. So, but before we talk about Raw from tonight, let's talk about SmackDown just in brief. Rob, anything on a surface level that you want to touch on? I mean, I know that there was, like, you know, a couple things that went down on the show.
Yeah. Well, we have new tag champions, so that's it. That's yay.
Which in turn basically telegraphed the ending to the women's chamber match.
Mm-hmm. Realistically. You're not going to have Rhea Ripley do a month of work feuding with Jade Cargill and being a tag champion. So, hello.
Yeah, exactly. So, but congratulations to Nia Jax and to Lash Legend. The Irresistible Forces are your... I do too. I definitely do. And they are your new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. So congratulations, without a doubt. Elsewhere on this episode of SmackDown, I do have to make mention. I love how they immediately heard the backlash from the fans of Jey Uso being put into the chamber match. So immediately they booked themselves out of it by having a mystery assailant lay out the Heat Man backstage. I found that extremely funny. And then elsewhere, and then Uncle Howdy defeated Solo Sikoa, and they're trading this fucking lantern back and forth.
Who gives a fuck about a lantern?
Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit?
They did the best they could with Bo Dallas to give him this gimmick, build a family around him, try to relive the legacy that his brother made in such a short window of time with Bray Wyatt. However, they've not executed on it very well. He doesn't wrestle as often as he should. Nikki Cross hasn't wrestled in like 5 years.
Nope.
Something insane. You have the makings of a really good faction, and they have not been used well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, honestly, outside of that title change, that's pretty much all that really mattered on SmackDown. So let's jump back in the time machine. Let's talk about Raw from tonight. Mm. And Rob, I'm going to lean on you heavily for this because... Yep. Yeah, I didn't see any of this. I do have some graphics, so let it rip, and I'll throw some graphics
and what do you got? All right, bottom right corner, Liv. Yay, I am a bitch. I am this. You don't know what struggles I went through. I had the best training. I'm sorry you came from a shithole. She didn't say where Stephanie Vaquer came from, but I'm sorry you fought in fly infested, mosquito infested rings. Blah 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 for 10 years. Sucks to be you. You don't know my struggle. Ha, I'm better than you. That's the basics of it. All right, we've got Dragon Lee And he walks down the ramp right behind our Austrian assailant. And Gunther gets punched in the back of the head, donkey punched, and he gets slapped around. And then, of course, he chops Dragon Lee into an even shorter luchador and chokes him out. So that was pretty much, they telegraphed what was going to happen there.
That was nothing, dude. Like that match, I mean, he took his fucking mask off, you know, basically jobbed this dude. Jobbed this guy out. Bad.
All right. Right. Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Dominic Mysterio. 9 years ago, they telegraphed what was going to happen, that he was going to lose tonight, because it's all about the Judgment Day either coming apart at the seams or you finally just get rid of Finn Balor. And no one's going to want to watch a Judgment Day with just JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio with no belts. But he gets cursed by Danhausen.
Yeah.
So this was good. This is my problem. You know,
this is the best usage for Danhausen.
I know. And this is what he did in AEW. The prob I don't like how they're using him. And it's what he's supposed to be used for, but he's supposed to be, he should be in NXT. He really should have been put in NXT, where this would have made more sense. Throwing him in the deep water makes no sense.
Dude, you know what would have been awesome, now that you're saying that, is if they would have made him the new NXT GM.
Oh my God. That would have been so entertaining. But in NXT, his kind of TNA AEW-esque escapades is a better match. Yeah. So what they're trying to do is have a comic relief for Raw in the same way that you have a comic relief on SmackDown and R-Truth. Fine.
Yep.
But it just comes out of nowhere. It's a complete non sequitur. It's a complete non sequitur. Now, when he curses him, will he wrestle Dominic Mysterio next week? They'll probably do some sort of a squash match. Somebody will come to save him. Probably Penta will come out and save him, and they look similar with their red, white, and black gear. Fine. Will he wrestle? He can wrestle. I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird seeing him in WWE. I want people to succeed. He deserves to do well.
Absolutely.
I would have rather have seen him in NXT and then maybe a year from now show up at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And then start dicking around with people. This is just so bizarre to me. Not in a good way. But yeah, he cursed him, you know, whatever.
Which then led to the match itself. So.
And Dominic Mysterio wrestled well, but the whole thing was predicated on JD McDonagh had a fucking hammer and wanted to clock Penta with a hammer. And Finn Balor's like, no, what the fucking bloody hell are you doing? He needs to win this one on his own. And I'm like, what?
And catalyst.
Yep. And the whole night was like, hey guys, you're gonna help me, right? Nah, a little bit of the old, And no, he wrestled straight up. He lost. Dominic did not wrestle poorly. He never does. He just lost. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
We will definitely see. But we had a couple more very interesting things from this episode of Raw. Namely, some interesting segments, one of which being some callbacks.
Oh, yeah. The Shield callback, where he clocks Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose in the back, and he does it to freaking Paul Heyman and curb stomps him until Paul Heyman's gushing blood from his skull.
Yep. And you know what's interesting, Rob? History doesn't always repeat itself, but it damn sure rhymes. This was the exact same building in the exact same city where he did those things to Roman and to Dean.
Yep.
And so he does the same thing here tonight to Heyman. So, yeah, very, now, where very is interesting Paul stuff.
Heyman, because the ambulance was being driven by LA Knight.
Dude.
This is going to be interesting to see what they do with Heyman. Heyman needs to disappear for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep, absolutely does.
And watch Austin Theory and Logan Paul run around just like bees in autumn, where they just sting anything in all directions.
Absolutely, man.
They are the Fredos of that group. They are the Fredos of that group.
Yeah. Yeah, but the problem is when virtually everybody in the group is a Fredo, what kind of a group do you have?
Braun Breaker could cut promos, and Braun Breaker was a good fighter. He was not the best on promos, but he was like a B plus.
He ain't there. He ain't there now. He's not going to be on TV for quite some time.
And
for Bronson Reed, literally, when you look at that group,
the only guys are left are like the B team guys that they brought in just to round out the group a little bit and beef it up a little, fill it up a little bit.
Dude, now, it's like the NWO Black and White from back in the day. They were the B squad.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Logan Paul, to me, can cook good promos. He has
absolutely.
He's great in the ring, but he's not a killer. He's an athlete. He's a slapsticking athlete. So now when you try to make him the main guy, I don't see it. He is a mid-carder. He is a mid-carder. Now, if Paul Heyman wanted to, a year from now, strap a rocket to him and make him the next Seth Rollins-type character with crazy outfits, I could see that. But that's a different gimmick than what you were doing with Braun Breaker. That Braun Breaker was just his unstoppable killer. Now the vision's going to be, I'm making another fruity-looking Seth Rollins.
Great call. Yeah.
And Seth Rollins cannot come out in these fruity costumes anymore. If he wants to be taken seriously, he needs to come out in basic black ring gear and just look vicious. He cannot be prancing and dancing no more.
That is what I really want to see, is I want to see a more focused Seth Rollins out of all this. Hopefully he takes the, his approach for the last few years of, dressing extremely grand and, in vibrant colors. And as you said, I hope that he dials it back, not turns heel, but just becomes focused. And that is going to make him such an organic babyface. If he does we could be talking about a completely different discussion 6 months from now.
Late 90s Rock and Stone Cold, where these people are just arrogant. You get behind them because you get behind them. Roman Reigns is the closest to that. You get behind Roman Reigns because he's good on the mic right now, and you want to see him beat somebody up. Braun Breaker could be that guy with very little work. Braun Breaker could be that universal guy that people just get behind. But we're into WrestleMania, and there was no mention tonight of Brock Lesnar. And that's important because we were told that Brock Lesnar was the replacement for The Undertaker. And there's no Brock Lesnar. So this whole idea that he's going to come out and be some WrestleMania main event status type person, bullshit. He never was going to be. We were lied to about that, and he sat down, and he should not. He should have came out and filled the gap that was missing in the vision. That would have been a better use, but he doesn't do it. He's not a worker. I don't know what you think, Steve, but he's not a worker. He could have filled that gap in the vision, and they could have done that, and Paul Heyman could have just claimed him and said, this is my new guy again.
Yeah, nope. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I think that, they...
blown opportunity.
They continue to be their own worst enemy. And they have quite a habit of, unfortunately, just producing the most unforced errors at the worst times. It's pretty crazy to watch... it's pretty crazy to watch this stuff happen in real time because there have been I don't want to say major missteps, but there have been some miscalculations and people being miscast. So, yeah, man, hopefully things can change and they can get on the right track. If for another reason, then there are 35,000 tickets that they've sold per day out of the venue that's 55.
Well, I'm sorry. I have to take my antihistamines because I'm allergic to shitty writing.
Nice. Well, let's pivot over and let's talk about AEW Dynamite.
Yeah,
came to us from the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado.
And their champions don't look like they're 95.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this show got started in a pretty hot way, man. Moxley defeated El Clone and in a Continental Championship Eliminator match. And I'll tell you, what they're doing with El Clone is pretty remarkable because people are talking about him after the matches are done. Even if he's losing in these matches, they're not necessarily throwaway. And I think that one thing that we'll see is inevitably when Hologram makes his return back and they do put him and El Clone into a program together, if we can go by what we saw before he was injured, El Clone is going to work miles around Hologram in this feud. And it could be interesting to see what happens when the AEW sickos take to Clone more than they will with Hologram. Not for nothing, just putting that out there.
He's wrestling very well. The gimmick is Hologram's gimmick, but that little twist with the, I love it. He's good. And he doesn't have to say anything. That's even better.
Exactly.
You don't need him to cut a promo. Nothing.
Dude, you've got him in probably one of the better situations for him with Callis cutting a promo for him. Or, let's be real too, more often than not, it's Josh Alexander cutting a promo in a random corridor while he's beating the shit out of random job guys in a hallway with Lance Archer. And
we're going to beat everybody up.
Those.
I'm not going to blink at all. Out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I know people might talk about those promos, but I think they're awesome. Speaking of awesome promos, we had a segment with MJF and Hangman where they were going to decide on what the stipulation was going to be. MJF proposed a one-sided disqualification match where literally Hangman Page could be disqualified for anything whatsoever, and MJF could not be disqualified for anything. And then, of course, they had a coin flip, and MJF, of course, used a double-headed coin and was found to be red-handed cheating. And as a result, Tony Khan said no. We're getting a Texas death match. So that's going to be your main match at Revolution, is a Texas death match, MJF versus Hangman Page for the AEW World Championship.
No, I don't like any of this. I don't. It makes no sense. He wins, he loses. It's too soon for him to get the belt right back. Way too soon for Hangman. Not that he's a bad champion, but he doesn't know what to do when he gets the belt. He just kind of like sits there and he's like, hey, I'm from Virginia. I'm your champ. I won. Hey, all elite, baby. Whereas MJF is going to go, hey, bud, I knew he was going to win. And the Triple B is right where it belongs. Oh, and this ring, I've got six of them. I'm the best. Okay. Now, if Hangman loses, why? Unless. When is Hangman's contract up?
He just signed a new one. I think he's got 2 or 3 years left.
Why are we doing this? I don't want him to win this quickly after he just lost. Like, what? When did he lose his belt? 2 months ago?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. There was nobody else in that locker room that could have fought. Nobody?
Bro, that's why I'm telling you. I don't think Hangman is winning this title. I don't think he's winning this title.
And then why put yourself in that position? Let's say you have a WWE situation by which a lot of people get injured down the road, and now you need to put the belt on him, but you wrote some shithole stipulation. I mean, make it make sense is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the Hangman not challenging for the championship stip. I don't like that whatsoever.
If it was against MJF, okay. Yes,
if he could not challenge MJF again for that title, then I'd be okay with it.
That would have been fine.
But as we've seen with WWE, those stipulations don't mean shit. Because obviously,
they brought back Bret Hart. They brought back Shawn Michaels. I should say. Yeah. I was going to say Bret the Hitman Hart, but they brought back Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And his bald ass, and I don't like any of this.
Yeah,
it was not needed.
Yeah, and then elsewhere on the show, we had the Babes of Wrath defeating Mega Bad, unfortunately by a disqualification. After Lena Cross attacked Willow Nightingale, there was a botched dive in this match by Penelope Ford to the outside. Unfortunately, Harley Cameron and Willow Nightingale, more so Harley, was out of place and did not catch Penelope. But the good news with all of this, it was the best possible case scenario as Penelope landed. She stuck the landing, unfortunately, a bit too well. She ended up with a sprained ankle out of all of it. So thankfully, that's all that it was. It could have been a whole lot worse. So clearly they had to call an audible here. Don't know if Megabad were supposed to win those titles or if Penelope was just supposed to eat the pin. But in any event, we had a shit finish with Lena Cross breaking up that match. But
I kind of wonder about that because of what she's wearing.
Yeah.
That's really bizarre. And also, though, would you rather see Mega Bad as the tag champions with Lena Cross and Megan Bain? That would be way more believable as an unstoppable unit.
I agree. I agree with that. And, you know, you could essentially have Penelope be a valet for them.
That's fine.
Be the person that takes the fall. You know, if they're in trios matches, she's the designated one to take the fall.
Or just do it like the New Day back 10 years ago, where it was kind of vague as to who the champions were because there was three of them.
Yeah.
Just do it like that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we've got the Mile High Madness match, which was basically like Anarchy in the Arena light. So you had a 10-man tag. It was Tornado Rules. The only thing is the main fall had to occur in the ring. You had Jungle Jack Perry, the Rascals, and the Young Bucks defeating FTR and the Demand. This one was a lot of fun. If you're going to go back and you're going to watch anything from AEW this week, give yourself 25 minutes, strap yourself in, get yourself something nice to drink, maybe, some party favors, and unwind, watch this match, and just have yourself a good night. That's all that it should be, you know? And it's good that AEW can put on banger matches every single week without it taking away from necessarily like a storyline or being forced to go in certain directions with things. They can put on solid matches every single week and it doesn't diminish what they're doing with the stories that they're telling.
Now, I wanted to do two things. First, I want to give a shout out to our partner, Matt Michaels, who
absolutely
think within a couple of weeks, we might be seeing him again, get well sooner. But he would go that they've got a good match. Who cares that they did good? Okay. Where are their ratings at? What's the storytelling? My attitude is, and I actually didn't need to go full screen. I wasn't going to go on a mega rant. I appreciate you tonight.
You never can be too sure.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, can you, or do you think that AEW is becoming more successful because they can have a match that is not tied to anything in particular, except for the fact to be a banger match?
So I think that they've always been dream match central. Okay. They've always been a dream match promotion. The knock on them has always been narrative storytelling over a long period of time. And I think that what we've seen in, I'd say, the last half of 2025, it really got started around Double or Nothing. So in May of last year, that things just kind of started clicking for them. They began telling narrative stories that were consistently quality, consistently good quality. And you started seeing more storylines being built into the programming. You started seeing characters being fleshed out. You started seeing people being given a reason to watch the show and to follow and to support any of these characters that they see week to week on this show. So I think that they've been clicking, I'd say, pretty well for the last 6 months or so. But it goes back, I'd say, all the way to May-ish of last year. And they are just, they're normalizing everything and putting the match quality and the storytelling outside of the ring on a similar level. They've had issues of keeping them on the same level and prioritizing both things. But now I definitely feel like as if they turned a corner. The last 6 months, like I said, have definitely shown that.
Now, and that's it. WWE right now, they're trying to do Rusev versus Obafemi. You know, that'll be a fight. But will it be wrestling? Will I be able to look back at that and go, wow, we got to see a pure wrestling match? The last time WWE did that, in my opinion, was when we had Andrade El Idolo versus Carmelo Hayes, and they did a six match series of it. That was pure wrestling.
Yes.
There was not much story behind it, except I want to out wrestle you. Right. But AEW is like, no, we're having fun. This is wrestling. This is where the best come to wrestle. It's fun. Doesn't have to be some gritty storyline. That's okay by me.
Yeah.
And maybe it's starting to be okay by fans too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one name that that we hadn't really talked about all that much is Konosuke Takeshita. Or, yes, Takeshita, who was active in New Japan Pro Wrestling, winning the NJPW World TV Championship from El Fantasmo. After the match itself, they have a very small time frame in those matches. It's a 10-minute time frame. And the match went to a draw, and they were given 5 more minutes. And in that additional time frame, Konosuke Takeshita defeats El Fantasmo and is now your new Japan Pro Wrestling World Television Champion. So very interesting. We're going to see that big old TV belt. Literally, go look at it. The belt itself has a giant television screen on it. It's a large rectangular belt. So that big ass TV belt will be on AEW TV every week going forward.
Didn't Zack Sabre Jr. have that one for a while?
Yes. Zack Sabre Jr. did hold that TV championship for a while. And yeah, props to Konosuke Takeshita for capturing gold in New Japan yet again. All right. So then also just to round out our coverage here, AEW Collision was on Saturday this week. Obviously went head to head with the Elimination Chamber on this show. Just going to run it down for you really quickly. Not really going to lie to you. Not a whole hell of a lot came out of this show. It was good, but there wasn't anything that was just stand out. Like, oh my God, holy shit, this was fantastic. The Brawling Birds definitely picked up an enhancement win over two local competitors. Again, getting the win with their heart attack finish. You had Tommaso Ciampa defeating Jay Lethal in a rematch from their Ring of Honor days. So any old school Ring of Honor fans definitely would appreciate that one. That might be worth taking a look at. Elsewhere, we had the Don Callis family losing to the Death Riders. And of all people, you had Pac scoring the pinfall victory because, of course, you got to love that. And after that match, we did have Timeless Toni Storm out there getting into it with Marina Shafir. They're definitely getting it on at Revolution in Los Angeles. But before then, yeah, we had Toni Storm rip off the beanie from Wheeler Yuta, and he is bald as it gets. So obviously, there's that.
Elsewhere on the show. I am confused about one thing, though.
Yeah.
Why is Alex Windsor not wearing her Rev Pro Undisputed British Champion belt?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, evidently Tony thinks that the total number of belts that should be on the on the show every week is eight, and maybe that's belt number nine, and it just had to take a cut.
Yeah, it's just so weird because that was one of the ones Mercedes Moné would drag around, and I'm like, wouldn't it make sense for her to just brandish it as much as she could?
Yep, exactly. And speaking of, I don't have a graphic for it, but it was announced that Persephone, by winning a match at Arena Mexico this week, will be the one to challenge Mercedes Moné for her CMLL World Women's Championship. So clearly, Mercedes is going to be dropping that women's championship, in this case to Persephone, who has a dual contract with CMLL and AEW. So it doesn't necessarily mean that that championship will not appear on AEW TV.
All right.
Elsewhere, we had Proto Shida defeating Top Flight. Imagine that.
Proto Kata.
Proto Kata. See, there you go. You caught me. Thank you. Proto Kata teaming up for the first time ever. So that was really cool to see them team up. Elsewhere, we had both of the champions on the mic. We had MJF cutting a promo, and he was complaining about what went down on Dynamite, and he was cut off by, of all people, Kevin Knight, who challenged him to a match on Wednesday for the championship. So that's leading into Kevin Knight versus MJF for the world championship, I guess, on Wednesday. Elsewhere, we did have the Sisters of Sin losing to Chris Statlander and Thunder Rosa. Obviously building up Thunder Rosa, who has her women's world championship match against Tekla on Wednesday, who then came out and called Statlander and Rosa two bitches. And dude, she's settling in to this character. She's cutting great promos whenever she's been given an opportunity. She's not just the creepy, scary chick anymore. Now she's just a badass that is just going to cut promos. And oh yeah, she can be creepy if she wants to be. So good shit there. We did also, speaking of Tekla, we got a vignette promo for Clark Connors. She and Clark are a thing off camera, but props to them for running vignettes and developing characters. This is what you need to do. You need to develop characters. So Clark Connors developing more of a personality. I love it. Do this with all of the people on your roster. Make people give a shit. Thank you. This is pro wrestling. And then in the main event, you had Andrade El Idolo defeating Tomohiro Ishii. This was about as a solid of a match as you could expect from Ishii at this point in his career. Not taking anything away from the guy, but he's definitely put on some mileage and he's definitely taken his fair share of bumps in his career. Andrade did pick up the win, also continues to do his gimmick of taking selfies with hot chicks in the front row. So, yeah, you got to love that.
You know, all told, we almost forgot something.
What's that?
John Morrison's bald now.
We didn't forget that.
Ah.
We didn't forget that. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, you know, I think that I think what we'll do first is we're gonna take a look at a few other news stories that that have been going on out there, and then I figure, you know, we might hear what somebody has to say about something, and then we'll see where we go. But this is big news for AEW as Netflix has dropped out of the WBD bidding after Paramount's new offer at $31 a share kicked in. That's over $100 billion that they are paying for the WBD rights to not just the networks, not just the streaming, but also all of the IPs. And Rob, I know that we are a pro wrestling podcast. AEW is one of those IPs, but here's everything that will be under the Paramount umbrella. You've got TNT, CBS, CNN, MTV, TCM, Showtime, Adult Swim, DC Studios, Nickelodeon, HBO and HBO Max, Comedy Central, and Cartoon Network. And that's just the WBD side of things. There are so many IPs on the right-hand side from Paramount Plus. Obviously, this is a landmark acquisition.
So Warner Brothers and Paramount. You know, by the time we're old men, it's just going to be one network for all entertainment and one thing for this and one thing for that. One company that you'll get your cell phones from and one thing. And then it'll all get jumbled together into one big company that does all of the distribution and all of the licensing and all of it. One big clusterfuck monopoly.
Yeah.
And if these are American companies, I don't even know why this shit's even allowed, but fuck it. That's a whole nother conversation. Beyond the scope.
You know, one thing that I find interesting is, you know, when the streaming model happened and all of these different streaming networks popped up, it was to get away from cable and getting away from paying one price for everything. And now it seems like as if slowly everything is just merging back together in this just giant congealed mass.
Surprise, asshole.
It's all said and done. And surprise, by the time it's all said and done, you're going to end up paying twice as much as what you did before.
Because when you have one company running everything, they can charge any price they want. And
absolutely.
Since there's nothing else for you to do, you got to pay it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
And then we'll hear the good old words bundle come. When you bundle your phone, you'll get your media package and your security package and your home, and it'll all be into one big glob streaming bundle, internet, cell phone, glob package.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That'll be it.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, speaking of new things, we've got Jake Hager. This is brand new news. Literally broke today. Jake Hager has revealed that he will be competing in Power Slap on April 17th here in Las Vegas as part of the WrestleMania week proceedings. Every news site that I looked at today, it was all over the place. Jake Hager, former MMA competitor, former WWE champion, blah, 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 competing in Power Slap. Getting popped in the face. Yeah.
This is so stupid. This is just dumb. You know, it is so dumb. I can't even. I got to take a break.
Yeah. You know, it's speaking of taking a break, I think that this goes without saying, too. Unfortunately, as with, you know, what we saw from the Penelope Ford incident, immediately after that that occurred on Dynamite, Harley Cameron received a lot of backlash. from the AEW sickos and from tribalist fans and from bad faith actors. And, you know, it's just one of those things that truthfully kind of pisses me off about the internet wrestling community. They will find a target. They will zero in on a target. And whether or not that person just messed up, Harley Cameron was not in the right place at the right time. And unfortunately, Penelope Ford was injured because of it. And dude, Harley Cameron has been in the business for 3 years. 3 years. She's still learning, you know. It's to be commended that she's come as far as she has. So I think that that's something that gets lost in this entire thing, is that Harley Cameron took a lot of harassment from online trolls and bad faith actors. And unfortunately, she deactivated her social media. So she is she's deactivated her X account. She's not doing anything with any of the other social medias. So it really just goes further to show you that, yeah, man, this shit sucks. The internet wrestling fans can be extremely toxic, and their depths know no limits, as it were. Also, you have you've got Ricochet chiming in for opining for a match with Chris Jericho, of all people, somebody who everybody has just assumed was done with AEW. Jericho, obviously doing some Fozzy stuff right now. And Ricochet says, "Hey, Jericho, when you're done with your karaoke tour, I got a national title match waiting on you." So when that happens, it remains to be seen, but sign me up. Yeah, I would be okay with seeing Chris Jericho versus Ricochet. I think those guys could definitely bring it for sure. And, you know, what we're going to do, speaking of bringing it for sure, I think that we're going to be hearing it. Wait. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm being told that. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and we're being joined now in a run-in. Holy shit.
All right, cut the music. Why am I looking at a picture of Jericho? Okay. If I want to see a picture of a guy with beautiful blonde hair, I'll look at myself in the mirror. But we're going to be bringing to you very soon a joint venture with myself and Tony Khan. This is breaking news. Breaking news. Now, with the death of the Ayatollah Khamenei, after a very successful regime change in Iran over this busy 36 hours with Operation Relentless Immaculate Fury, we will now have AEW Presents AEW Crown Jewel as a part of Tehran season. That's right. Celebrate AEW Crown Jewel as part of Tehran season as the new temporary Ayatollah of Iran. We will have Tehran season and be bringing you AEW Crown Jewel. It's going to be the greatest match of the likes. It's going to be a pay-per-view like never before seen. AEW as part of Tehran season with the Ayatollah Donald J. Trump, the new temporary Ayatollah proconsul of Iran. We're working on the name. But it's a good name. It's a very good name. It's a strong name. It's a prosperous name. And part of Tehran season, we'll have a musical sounder for that too. We'll be working. After we have the first five World Cups in New Jersey, we'll have one at Allegiant Center, and then we'll have the rest at Allegiant Center 2 and Tehran. It's going to be, it's going to be a tremendous show. Bookings like never before seen.
Mr. President, quick question. This Tehran season, what all can we expect in addition to this AEW event? What other things do you have in mind for Tehran season?
Tehran season's going to have the best boxing, the best American football. We're going to be bringing American football to the people of Iran who are looking to experience the American dream like never before. So we're going to bring the XFL, not the XFL, maybe the Trump team. Are we doing the XFL? It's the XFL. We're going to bring the XFL to Tehran. And I'll be happy to present the XFL as the new supreme commander and Ayatollah of Iran. They're going to love it. It's going to be, they're going to love it.
And we're going to
call their team the Tehran Terrors. The Tehran Terrors. And
there you have it.
Yeah, I know. There you have it. That's the price of freedom. You get, you break a few eggs, and then you get the Tehran Terrors, the new XFL team that we're going to debut in Tehran. They're only going to have one game a year. That's all we can afford right now, because we have so many security concerns. But once we get the security concerns in place, maybe we'll give them two games a year. We're looking into maybe having them have two games a year. You know, maybe they have two games a year. You know, wow. We're going to send The Rock over there. We like The Rock. We like Dwayne Johnson. He'll go over there and he'll be the new president of the Tehran Terrors, the new XFL team.
Absolutely. You know, Mr. President, I think that's an immaculate idea. I think you've got a lot of things going on with the Tehran Terrors, and I definitely appreciate you joining us tonight. And have a good rest of your evening.
And by the way, why did Triple H bring out Danhausen to nobody? He didn't have him fight anyone. He came out with a bunch of little Elviras. This was a really shit job. And then he fucked over Dom Mysterio. Dom Mysterio was the greatest intercontinental champion that we ever had. He look at this. He came out of an egg. Why did he come out of an egg? Wait, Survivor Series. What is that? Is that the Survivor Series in the 80s? I don't even know what the fuck they did. They was a terrible job. They did a horrible job with him. And then he comes out. Oh, I'm cursing you. Oh, I'm cursed. You know, it's cursed the WWE ratings for that Elimination Chamber. Okay. You know, they don't talk about that one. Usually they show a little, they have a little commercial break and they tell you, oh, we showed so many seats and we had so many people watching. Not this time.
Yeah, absolutely not. And again, Mr. President, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And I know that you're a very, very busy man, and have a good rest of your evening.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. All right. The President of the United States joining us right here on the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. You know, you gotta love it, man. And elsewhere, we've got we're going to continue with just a couple of other news stories. AJ Styles reportedly signed a new deal with WWE, and he's going to stay on behind the scenes to help develop talent. I think this is the absolute best usage of AJ. Here is a guy that, whatever you want to say about him, did not have the machine behind him when he first got into WWE. And he wouldn't take no for an answer, man. He found a way to keep pushing through and took chicken shit, turn it into chicken salad. And AJ Styles, your Hall of Fame entrant in 2026. You gotta love that.
And, man, I wanted to see him on AEW. I really did.
I did as well. I definitely did, if we're being completely honest. But at the end of the day, if he is not going to go to AEW, I would rather him continue to be able to mold the future generations and doing what he's doing right now. I think that this is perfect use.
Yo, what's up with this computer? My lighting is all weird now. My face is orange.
I don't know, man. Yeah, it looks a little bit weird. Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm coming down with something.
Something. I don't know.
I've got cough medicine, so.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Chug it.
Does it cure orange face? I wonder.
So, speaking of weird shit on your face, Darby Allin was on a radio interview with Tucson rock radio station KFMA, and he was in an Uber at the time that he was doing it, and it just so happened that the Uber driver didn't want to listen to him giving an interview in the back of his car. So he literally pulled over and dropped Darby Allin off on the fucking interstate. As about as unsafe as you can get, he basically told Darby to take your shit and get the fuck out of my car. So,
you can't even. First of all, I mean, an Uber driver, you got to take the guy to his destination at the very least, or take him to a safe place, a safe location. I don't get it. And that guy's career's got to be over as an Uber
driver.
It's
got to be.
You're no one's gonna want to get in this guy. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah,
he should be arrested for that. Quite honestly.
Yeah, it not a good look for sure. Not a good look at all. But speaking of what some would say not a good look, but some may say a great look. As you had mentioned earlier in the show, Rob, joining you in the Bald Brotherhood is none other than the former John Morrison, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Elite, or as he was referred to in this show, he was the 46-year-old was known as Johnny Consejo because he was wrestling for CMLL. And Royce Isaacs saying, welcome to the team, brother. But you got Don Callis. What the hell are you
talking about? Join the club with me. I don't understand.
Oh, shit. Dude, what were you hiding under that hat, bro?
I have no idea what the hell you're on about, man.
Oh, damn. Wait.
Yeah.
Wait, that can't be right. Hang on. What? Hang on. All right. Dude, look at that. If you're not watching the show, if you're listening, Rob just took off his hat and revealed the most illustrious of manes. Oh my gosh, man. That's an extraordinary head of hair that you got on you, sir. Congratulations.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It cost me like $20,000. I had to fly to Turkey for it.
Hey, man, you and MJF both.
He still looks like his hair's thinning. And I think John Morrison's hair might have been thinning a little bit, and that's why they finally pulled this.
Yeah. But
probably.
If you look down in the bottom right-hand corner, did John Morrison actually get hotter with the shaved head and this tweet being from his wife, Taya Valkyrie? Yep. So, hey, if wifey likes it, all right.
Oh, can't go wrong. What he looked like in 2025, that'll tell me all I need to know. They only pull that trigger when you're a little thin. It's a little thin.
It's a little thin.
But not bad. Like,
no.
Like, shit, his worst is every, people would love to have what he had left.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking at him like, yeah, he looks mostly the same. Yeah. He'll grow it back. He'll grow it back.
Oh, yeah.
Or and he's then, going to Turkey to get the surgery.
Yeah, no shit. Ring of Honor debuted a new studio set. So as we talked about last week, Ring of Honor is going to be strictly a studio wrestling show going forward. And that's going to be taking place from Jacksonville. So that's going to allow them to keep production costs sustainable. And I think that it's going to... Initially, people have really shit-canned it because obviously the image being shown is showing next to no fans in the arena. But
it looks like NWA.
This is, this is a starting point, you know? I'm interested to see where we go from here with Ring of Honor and the tapings. But elsewhere, MJF has filed a trademark Big Hebrew.
Oh, so, hold on.
So I guess he's going to call himself Big Hebrew going forward. And he has mentioned it in a couple of times in his promos. I think he's got a T-shirt on Shop AEW as well that says that. And I do want to give a shout out to our boy, the Bionic Scoop. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight, brother. I definitely appreciate you joining us as always.
Big Hebrew.
Yeah, Big Hebrew.
Oh, my. And, okay.
Speaking of social media and interesting things, yeah, we talked about the Rhea Ripley and Jade Cargill match at WrestleMania, and don't work yourselves into a shoot, but it looks like they're chirping at each other on social media. Alluding to some things, talking to creative, and some people getting upset about it. Evidently, some feathers were ruffled. So, I don't know. Maybe we're seeing an added dimension to telling this story, and maybe WWE is finally getting it to use social media as an extension of their program. Well,
they've done this before. They've done this with Becky Lynch. They've done this many times with the male talent as well.
It makes sense. It makes all the sense in the world.
It's good. And remember, AEW has this, being the Elite, and they have all this other content that you can watch. The Good Brothers have done it. Fine. If I'm not a social media junkie, where I have to read the everything that these people did, I should still be able to follow along. This should not be a substitute for the in-ring or on-TV writing.
Agreed.
It needs to be an enhancement to what's going on.
Completely agreed. It should supplement it.
Yeah, exactly. Do I care? She went to developmental. I don't know what that means to creative. I don't know what that alludes to. You see, this is the dangerous thing that they did once already. When Jade Cargill got into the face of Flair, Charlotte Flair, and they pulled her away from Charlotte Flair and said, leave her alone. You made Charlotte Flair more important than Jade Cargill your champion. If they go that route again and have Jade Cargill complaining that other people are getting treated better than her, that makes her less than while holding the belt. They have to be careful about that. It's sending the message that she is really not the important person, that it's Rhea Ripley, which makes Jade Cargill's title reign meaningless. This is very like bad if they let this continue on in this direction. Absolutely. I don't feel that she has enough stature as the champion.
Absolutely. And just to put a button into this, you've got Rhea taking to her Instagram saying, not having fun, not friends. Learn to work and never lie to defame someone's real human character by, quote, breaking the fourth wall. Could be interesting. Is this more work shoot action, or did somebody take something a little bit too far, you think?
So here's my question now. If Cargill's saying that, are you making Rhea Ripley the heel?
No, that was Ripley that fired off the not having fun thing on her Instagram.
Oh, because you have Cargill not having fun, not friends in that quote.
Yeah.
Oh, with Jade Cargill. Gotcha, Rhea Ripley. Yeah. I read it wrong. Yeah. All right. I mean, fine. You got to make Jade Cargill the heel. Jade Cargill is not a good heel, and she's not a good baby face. She's right now, they're trying to scramble and scrape together a story. And Jade Cargill basically had one night to start and stoke a feud with Rhea Ripley. you basically had one day to go, whoa, here we are. Because those two women have no history together.
Exactly.
They have nothing. So, what do you do? Rhea Ripley doesn't have a kid, as far as I know. There's not much you can say about Rhea Ripley. She's right. Established. Jade Cargill is not. If it were the other way around, fine. This is just really awkward. You have 3 weeks to come up with something. I don't think they're going to pull it off. I really don't. I'm not believing this.
Yeah, you know, I don't think so either. But speaking of pull it off, we pulled this shit off. So let's go ahead and wind this down. Rob, let's go ahead and tell the good people out there where they can interface with you, where they can follow you on social media, and where they can see you live.
All right. Well, you could go to Eventbrite, and you can find our Vegas Vintage Comedy Showcase on Eventbrite. Oh, and thank you, Bionic Scoop, 6 weeks. But 3 weeks, you really only got 3 weeks to freaking start to build a storyline and get my ass engaged. You better hurry up, and you know, WWE. Yeah, I'm backpedaling, but still, yeah. That was my idea. You gotta figure this out. But I digress. We're doing a show every Wednesday at 8:00, and no, one show is not better or worse than the other. We've got Lip Lock this week. Ray Love from Jimmy Kimmel's out here in Las Vegas, and Wise Guys on Sundays. Brian Shenanigan, you might have seen him with comedian great John Caparulo. You got Ray Love's been all over the city. Mike Stiggs, Monty Cruz, April Lee, and of course the beautiful Stella. And maybe the president might make a visit, but we had to let him get a rest. He deserves to get a rest in. Maybe Rob Bosselary will do with my beautiful new hair. Do a few minutes there.
I love it.
That's on 1227 South Main Street in Las Vegas. Come get some of the best cocktails in the city. God, they're good over there.
I love
drinking over there. Yes. And Steve has come. Steve has been at the show, and he even got a woman's number.
Yeah, man. We don't need. A lot of fun can be had at the Vintage Vegas Cocktail Lounge.
Women were throwing themselves at him. I'm not blind. You're a handsome guy. You know, I'm saying, you know, you got some people are throwing numbers at you. You know, you're a good guy. You know, the cut of your jib is pretty good.
I appreciate you. Rob, what about social media? Where can people follow you?
Vegas Trump Guy. It says it right there. Yeah, Vegas Trump Guy right there. You can find me on social media. Connect with me on TikTok,
Cameo.
Instagram, Cameo, BOCE Comedy. My name, Rob Bosselary, Boss Comedy on Cameo. You knew what I was. You know what I was looking for. You can find me there. So thank you very much. I appreciate you guys coming out and supporting. Means a lot.
And also, I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. Whether you're doing on land, foreign, or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%. All right, man. Well, we've had another successful week. And we've got another jam-packed week of pro wrestling up ahead. Hopefully, Matt Michaels will be joining us next week. If not, then hopefully you continue to feel better, bro. And until then, guys.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody. Thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert nights.
Matt Michaels leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Buccellari dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.